Jesus suffered, I sing to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. Jesus knew when he came, he would suffer in shame. He could feel Jesus, I owe. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. From his throne Jesus came, laid aside heaven's fame in exchange for the cross of God. Suffered loss for my sin, for the cross he was wounded, then I was set free. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live.
Well, good morning. It's so good to see you in our Sunday morning service here at Bible Baptist Church. Our pastor is out of town this morning. He is officiating the memorial service for Leslie Owens. Leslie was a good friend of the family, in fact, a friend of several of our members. So you be much in prayer for the preacher. We have this morning with us Joey Bacon and his family. We've already had him in had a great Sunday school. Amen. He challenged us, and Joey is the mission director for the World Baptist Fellowship Mission Agency, and we have with him his wife Julie and his daughters Emily and Mallory, who are normally college students, but they're visiting at home, so we're glad that they can be together and with us. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
But we're glad that you're here this morning, and we're also glad we have so many tuning in online. We miss you guys. We look forward to having you back with us. We understand. But let me just remind everybody that this is the last day to give to the ministry of the Texas Boys Ranch. We've had the wonderful opportunity to support that place for two or three years now, and we have it again, but today's the last day. They do a wonderful job in serving and ministering to youngsters in need, and we ask that if you can at all, help us with that, and it would be greatly, greatly appreciated, okay? Anyway, I'm going to ask Brother Jeff here if he'll open up in prayer.
Saving knowledge. I just pray that as we continue as a church to lift up
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Technology is wonderful until it doesn't go like it should.
Step down from heaven, humbly you came. God of all creation, here with us.
In a starlit manger, he
Oh. us adore Him. The Lord, worship Christ the Lord. Let all that is within us adore.
Angels sing, praises ring to the newborn King. Peace on earth here with us, joy awakening. At your feet we fall.
Angels sing, praises ring to the newborn King. Peace on earth here with us, joy awakening. At your feet we fall. At your feet. You came to this old sin-cursed world, and as we sang a while ago, you came to go to the old rugged cross to pay the penalty for my sins and sins of the whole world. And God, the greatest day of my life was the day that I accepted you as Lord and Savior. And God, our prayer today is if there's one here that has never truly been born again, God, I pray that today would be that day of salvation in their heart and in their life. God, we do pray for our pastor today, especially this afternoon as he is there at that funeral service. God, I pray that you'd use him in a mighty way today. And God, we're so grateful for Brother Bacon and his family being with us today. And God, I pray as he comes in just a few moments and preaches to us, God, I pray that you'd use him in a mighty way today. God, we love you. And we thank you for all the things that you've done for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
Tender and mild, sleep. Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star.
Sunday school hour, we were challenged by Brother Bacon to take whatever position that we find ourselves in, whatever situation we find ourselves in, and use that as an opportunity to become more like Christ, to serve more, to support more, to manifest Christianity in our lives even more. So let me challenge you, if you weren't able to be with us in our Sunday school hour, go online and listen to that message. I appreciate that message, by the way, Brother Joey. We're going to hear from him again. If you'll come on up, Brother Joey Bacon, the missions director for the World Baptist Fellowship Missions Agency in Arlington, Texas.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate that. Well, thank you again so much for having us this morning. Again, it's good to be with you and always good to be with you folks. Y'all are special to us and we appreciate you. I want you to know that we think about you often. And I know sometimes there can be a little bit out of sight, out of mind. But every month we process contributions for our missionaries and we see the names of churches like yours come across. And every time we see your name, we thank the Lord for you. And I mean that. I'm serious. At the end of the month, especially when I'm doing our prayer letters and going through our financial statement, I cherish that time. I enjoy that time because I just think about the generosity of God's people and your faithfulness. And so thank you for that. Thank you to your pastor for inviting us to come. Thank you for always being a blessing to us. The accommodations were so nice yesterday evening. Thank you so much for that. Your hospitality, we just appreciate it. You've made us very comfortable. And it's always a joy to be with you, and always a joy to see friends, some that we haven't seen in a long time. Brother Ronnie and Nancy Batchelor back there. These folks were members of our church there in Arlington at Pleasant View Baptist Church. They were in our Sunday school class for quite a while, and just not too long ago had to move up to Lubbock. And so they now live in this area. But it's good to see them this morning, and then also JP and Summer. Haven't seen them for quite a few years, and have so many memories, especially years and years ago, when I was serving at Trinity Baptist Church, J.P. Barber was one of our interns. And interns are always a fun time. And I tell you what, he was so faithful, just did everything we asked him to do. And when he was an intern, we went to junior camp, and J.P. and some of the guys did this great famous skit called I'm Stirring Gravy. And so when you get a chance, ask JP to share that with you. He even sings, does a really good job singing the song. But that's one of my best memories. We've got that on video, and maybe we'll post that one day. Great, great memories. Good to be with you this morning. Let me ask you to pray with me this morning, and we'll get into what God has for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. God, it's always a blessing to be in your house. And again, Lord, this year, probably maybe more than ever before, we as Americans appreciate this opportunity to be able to assemble together. Lord, I thank you for the ones that have tuned in online, and we thank you for the technology that makes that possible. God, I pray this morning, first of all, I ask you to be with Pastor Downer and the family and so many who are hurting over the one who's passed away. And Lord, just be with that service today. And again, Lord, just comfort so many families right now that are going through this difficult time. I pray that you'd be with them in a very special way today. And then, God, I ask you to be with us as we've come together. Lord, I'm confident this is the message you put on my heart for this time. Lord, I'm confident that everyone that came into this building today, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord, I'm confident that you knew exactly what each one needed. Lord, I'm confident that you'll use your word to speak to our need this morning. God, I pray in the next few moments, just give us exactly what we need. As always, I pray if there be someone here who does not know Christ as Savior, Lord, I pray that you would use your message to speak to their heart the way only you can. And Lord, really and truly and seriously, we pray that they might get saved today before it's eternally too late. Thank you for this time you've given us. We trust you with it, and we'll praise you for what you do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me date all of us just a little bit here to begin with. Let me see how many of you would be familiar with this theme song. All right, you ready? Maybe even some students might catch it. Maybe. Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip. Somebody got it so far? That started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. How many of you got that? How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? All right. A famous sitcom from about the 1960s, I believe, called Gilligan's Island. Famous sitcom, and the story goes, it starts with what they call a three-hour tour on a chartered ship somewhere out in the Pacific Ocean. And these guests are on this chartered tour. They end up seeing a typhoon or something like that, and they get in this storm, and they get stranded on this island. So the entire show is about these people being stranded on an island, and there are multiple rescue attempts. Again and again and again, there's attempt, and it's so close that they almost get rescued, except for this goof by the name of Gilligan, who seems to spoil the attempt every time. Now, for some people, they love watching a show like that. For some people like me, it's absolutely frustrating, because it seems like every time they're about to get rescued, something happens or Gilligan does something and they're still stranded on the island. I would imagine today that there are some folks, again, especially this year, who feel that way to some respect. It seems like by now we should have been rescued. We should have been delivered. I remember especially early on this year just hearing about things, and you're still kind of thinking, this will be over in a couple months. It's an election year, and we know all that. And it seems like we're still here and still dealing with it. And just this idea of how did we get here? Why are we still here? Why haven't we been rescued yet? Well, I hope today I can give you some hope as we look at a story in the book of Acts, chapter number 27. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there to Acts chapter number 27. If you don't have a Bible with you, I encourage you to look on with someone next to you this morning, from a distance, of course. But Acts chapter number 27, we find not a tale like Gilligan's Island, but we find a real life story of some folks that make a trip on a ship, encounter a fierce storm, but are rescued, delivered, saved by the only one who could possibly do it. And that is God. Let me give you the setting in Acts chapter number 27. The main character, of course, is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is being put on a boat because he is a prisoner. He's being taken to Rome. They're leaving from Caesarea and they're going to be going to Rome. This is going to be a long, long voyage. Paul is a prisoner. He's been arrested. He's going to be taken to Rome. And let me just say off the bat, this is not exactly how Paul thought things were going to go. A few chapters later in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 19, Paul said that he purposed in the Spirit to go to Rome. He wanted to eventually go to Rome. He wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to preach there. He wanted to tell people about Christ. So he purposed in the Spirit to go to Rome after going to Jerusalem. He was going to go to Jerusalem first. Now, a lot of folks were telling him, don't go to Jerusalem. It's dangerous. You're going to get arrested. You're going to have nothing but trouble. Paul knew he was going to have trouble, but he felt led of the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem and then to go to Rome. Well, he gets to Jerusalem, and sure enough, he has trouble. He gets arrested, gets put in prison, and now he's a prisoner in chains. Nevertheless, because Paul had Roman citizenship, he was able to appeal to the Roman governor. And to the Roman emperor. So he's able to, by that right, to go to Rome. So Paul had purposed in the spirit that he was going to eventually go to Rome, but go to Jerusalem first. He became arrested. Things didn't seem to be going like he wanted them to go. But in Acts 23 and verse 11, Jesus told him this. He said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Here's the point I want to tell you as we set this up. God was in this journey. God was in this journey. God was always in control of it, as we talked about earlier this morning. I want to remind you again today. God is absolutely in this journey. God is absolutely in control, though it doesn't look like we thought it would look, though it's not happening the way we thought it would happen. God is still in this. And so Jesus tells Paul that Paul is still going to make it to Rome, just not like Paul thought he would. Paul probably was already making plans ahead of time of what boat he would charter and how he would get there and when he would go and how he would travel and the route that he would take. But nevertheless, God intervened and God allowed Paul to get arrested. And so now Paul is just in chains and Paul, it seems, is just along for the ride. So Paul is getting on this boat, and let me just tell you the ones who are on this boat. As in the first few verses of Acts 27, we find that Paul and Luke are on the boat, and his friend Aristarchus, and then there's probably some other prisoners, and then there's the Roman guard, and then there's the captain of the ship and the captain's crew. These are the people on the boat, and I want you to just get this in your mind, okay? Everybody is in the same boat. Paul and the prisoners, the Roman guard and his soldiers, the captain and the crew, they're all in the same boat. But I want to tell you something. When they face the storm that they're going to face, the Roman guard won't have any control over the storm. The captain and the crew won't be able to navigate through the storm. But there's a missionary on board that's going to have a message of hope in that storm. While they're all in the same boat, and nobody else has any answers, the missionary, the servant of God, the one who knows Jesus Christ, in that storm, he has the answer. Amen. So let's pick it up in verse number 9 as they start on this journey. "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past." Luke has just given us a timeline there of when this was taking place, basically telling us it was not a good time to be on the sea there. "Paul admonished them," verse 10, "and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, a centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Hey, let me just tell you, unfortunately, not everybody listens to the preacher. Have you found that to be true? Not everybody listens to the preacher. Not everybody listens to the Christian. They'd rather listen to the experts. They'd rather listen to the government. They don't always listen to the Christian. Verse 12, "And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." It's out of control. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven." They're working frantically just to stay afloat. "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And we had neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. And no small tempest lay on us," notice this phrase, "all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." I want you to focus on that phrase. All hope that they should be saved was taken away. They tried everything. They'd been absolutely frantic. They had worked so hard, but at this moment, all hope to be saved was taken away. Hey, can I tell you something? One of the best things that can happen for this sin-cursed, blinded world is for this world to reach a point where all hope is taken away that they should be saved. That is the best thing that could happen for this world. As people work frantically, as they try their best to be good, as they try their hardest to be religious, the best thing that could happen is for them to come to a point where they realize their best efforts, their greatest ideas, their best religious works will not save them. All hope is taken away. Look what happens in verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island." I want to speak to you on this subject this morning, if you're taking notes today, and that is this. When all hope is taken away, when all hope is taken away, and then just add this to it. When all hope is taken away, missions really matters. When all hope is taken away, missions really matters. In the midst of this year and everything that is happening, it would be very easy for God's people to, I guess, maybe step back sometimes and say, you know, we talk about missions every year and we emphasize that, but you know what? Sometimes there's so much other things going on, we need to set that aside. But I want to tell you, folks, right now, when all hope is taken away, when what we're dealing with right now is so tremendous, when all hope is taken away, missions really does matter. At this moment, on that ship, in that storm, when all hope was taken away that they should be saved, what the missionary had to say, what the Christian had to say, the hope that he had heard from God really did matter that day. I want to point out some things and just make some observations as we go through this message this morning, some things that I hope will speak to your heart and challenge you, and maybe even hopefully encourage you this morning. First of all, number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. The message of missions declares prospective hope. The message of missions declares prospective hope when all hope has been taken away. If you notice there, Paul said there in verse number 21, he said, "Ye should have hearkened unto me." Now, I want you to understand, and I think we can know this knowing the life of Paul. When Paul says that, he's not saying, "I told you so," all right? I know many Christians sometimes we'd like to tell the world that, "Hey, we told you so. We told you this was coming." What Paul is doing, though, is this. Paul is excited that he can declare prospective hope. Paul is saying, "You should have hearkened to me. I knew what I was talking about then, and you should have listened. But I've still got some good news for you right now." Notice he says there in verse 22, "I exhort you to be of good cheer." Be of good cheer. Now think of the context of when he's saying that. Paul is telling them to be of good cheer. They're tired. They're exhausted. They're soaking wet. Probably, I would imagine, somewhat seasick maybe. And yet Paul says, "Be of good cheer." Friend, I'm telling you, and I'm just kind of repeating a little bit from Sunday school this morning. Right now in this time, and I'm so glad it's Christmas time. I love Christmas time, and Maybe, like me, you have noticed so many people were anxious for Christmas to get here. Lights went up sooner than they used to every year. And I mean, everybody's ready for Christmas. Why? Because we need some hope. And let me say this to you. As we study the Word of God, here's what we find. God never declares hope for the world in which humans live. God declares prospective hope for the humans who live in this world. You understand, the Bible tells us that this world is not going to make it. This world is going to be burned up one day. In fact, the Bible tells us, and kind of Peter referred back to the time of the flood in 1 Peter chapter number 3. In verse 20, he said, "When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." He refers back to the flood, reminding us that God had to destroy the world because it was so wicked, it was so terrible. But God, by His grace, saved some people that were in the world. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, he says this, "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Peter is saying this, just like the world was destroyed one day in the flood, one day this world is going, it's being reserved unto judgment. It's going to be burned up. It's going to be destroyed. But in verse 9 of 2 Peter 3, he says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Here's what's happening. This world is going to be destroyed one day, but for now, God is keeping from doing that. From now, God is allowing us to still live so more people can be saved before it's too late. Amen. Oh, and let me ask you to jot down a couple things right under this thought. That is this. I want you to jot this down. Man's second chance, which is God's first choice. Man's second chance. Man gets a chance again and again and again and again after church service, after witness opportunity. You've heard that if you're not saved, again and again and again, your second chance, again and again and again. Now here's the deal. We don't know when that last chance will come. I don't know when's going to be that last time that I witnessed to Bobby McCormick and he rejects Christ again. I don't know. I don't know when's going to be the next time I witness to my neighbor and finally God lets him step out into eternity. I don't know when the last time is going to be, but I'm telling you right now, your second chance, that's actually God's first choice. The Bible says God would have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Amen. His first choice is for you to be saved. Amen. That message of missions declares prospective hope. There is still hope. There is still that opportunity for someone to accept Christ. Can I share this with you this morning? God's primary objective is not the overthrow of corrupt government, but the saving of lost souls. That's God's primary objective. You know, it's interesting here in this story, the Apostle Paul, his main concern in this story is not about his imprisonment. That's not his main concern. His main concern is not for the authorities to be overturned and for all of... I mean, Paul's main concern is not, man, if somebody would just overthrow the Roman government, everybody would be fine. That's not his main concern. His main concern is the saving of souls. The message of missions declares prospective hope. Paul says there is still hope. Oh, but secondly, write this down this morning, please. And this coincides with our Sunday school lesson. Secondly, the messenger of missions demonstrates personal hope. The messenger of missions demonstrates personal hope. Notice verse number 23 what Paul says. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Now again, Paul is telling these folks, be of good cheer. That phrase, be of good cheer. It doesn't merely mean to be comforted. It means to be joyous as well. I mentioned in the Sunday school this morning, I know you and I as believers probably consistently have these moments when we're plagued by fear and we're plagued by worry. And I'm telling you, it's so vital right now in these days, right where we are, for believers to have confidence, for believers to be of good cheer, because we have personal hope. Let me tell you something that's really cool about the Apostle Paul on this journey. Keep in mind, the Apostle Paul is on this boat. They're all in the same boat. He's a prisoner. He's in chains. They're in this storm. But here's what I want you to notice in verse 23. Two things about Paul. First of all, Paul was in protective custody. If you want to write that down, Paul was in protective custody. From a physical standpoint, it would seem he was in the custody of the Roman guard. But from a spiritual standpoint, hear me this morning, from a spiritual standpoint, Paul was in the protective custody of the Lord Jesus Christ. The entire time, whose I am, he belonged to God. Well, I love having our children with me, and I'll tell you something, one of the most difficult things over the last couple of years has been releasing them to college, especially all the way in California. I tell you what, I ugly cried both times. I mean, they'll tell you. I mean, and we planned and we tried to raise them right. We tried to teach them. But boy, when you just, I mean, they're your kids. They belong to you. You want to have them with you all the time to protect them and take care of them. But I want to tell you something more importantly than being my children. They're God's children. Amen. Friend, I want to tell you, when you're God's child, you are in protective custody. Listen, friend, and hear me this morning. I'm not saying that bad things aren't going to happen to you and it's not going to be rough, not going to be difficult. You're not going to get a virus or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you that ultimately you are protected by God. Listen to what Paul said about it in Romans chapter number 8. He said, "Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." He said later, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who they are called according to His purpose." He then said, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" He said, "I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. He said, "I'm in protective custody. Not only whose I am, but," he said, "whom I serve." Oh, write this down. Paul was on a predetermined course. Not only was he in protective custody, but as we mentioned this morning, he was on a predetermined course. Back in Acts 23, Jesus said to Paul, "Paul, you're going to make it to Rome." Notice what he said here in verse number 24. The angel said to Paul, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." Here's what he told Paul. "I know it looks grim. I know it looks like you're going to crash, like you're all going to die. But here's the deal, Paul. You're on a predetermined course. Here's what God is saying. Paul, you are not leaving this life until I'm done with you." Amen. Boy, so many folks this year, I hear you, scared to death. Am I going to die? Am I going to get sick? Hey, the Bible says our times are in His hand. Nobody's leaving this life until God is done with them. And I'll be the first to admit, sometimes when God has some folks step out into eternity sooner than we expected, I struggle with that. I do. I have some conversations with God. I have some folks in my mind and I just say, "God, I know they could have done so much more for you if you'd let them stay here." But God's in control of that. Amen. See, the messenger of missions declares personal hope that my times are in His hands. And God's going to accomplish what He wants to in my life while I'm here. Now, here's the deal with that. Are we yielded enough to God so that we can be sure, yes, God is accomplishing things in my life? Or are we taking this time on this planet for granted that God has given us? Boy, God convicts me of that all the time. Every funeral, God convicts me of that. That, hey, I've got a few more days left on this planet to do something for Jesus. I want to show you the last thing this morning, and this is just really cool. The message of missions declares prospective hope. The messenger of missions demonstrates personal hope. But then I want you to write this down. This one's interesting. The messaging of missions discloses providential hope. The messaging of missions discloses providential hope. As he is telling them what is happening, now get this. He's telling them that God said that Paul must be brought before Caesar. Now, the Roman guard has to be thinking to himself, okay, well, obviously you're going to go to Caesar because that's where I'm taking you. But Paul is, in essence, is saying to them, I'm not going there because you're taking me there. I'm going there because that's where God wants me to go. All of a sudden, it's not at all about anybody in this world having any control. All of a sudden, it's about the providence of God. Friend, believers, we've got to believe that. You know, we spent quite some time at Pleasant View Baptist Church under the leadership of our pastor, Pastor McNeil. He just led the church before the election time came. For several months, we read through a book together and we prayed every day for America. And then we had a 24-hour prayer thing at our church. People came at different middle of the night, come to the church, kneel at the altar. And I mean, we did a 24-hour prayer thing for the election, and I mean, people just, we prayed and prayed and prayed, and here's what happens. What we do, we pray really what we would like to happen, and ultimately we pray for God's will. But then after we pray and after all is said and done, guess what we do? We trust the providence of God. Amen. We don't come out of something and say, well, maybe we didn't pray hard enough, maybe we didn't have enough faith. No, no, we come out and say, we trust the providence of God. Now, here's the thing about Paul. I want you to notice in verse number 24 that God says to Paul, hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Now, I believe for Paul, that's what he really rejoiced in. And here's what I would say. First of all, Paul was burdened in God's providence. Here's what's interesting to me. Many of us, maybe not you, maybe just me, would be more concerned, God, am I going to make it out of this? I believe on that boat, Paul was most concerned for the ones on that boat that were lost. Romans chapter 9, Paul pours out his heart for his people. Paul talks about his heart being burdened. He said, and Paul in essence says he would give up his own salvation for them. Romans chapter 10, he says, my heart in prayer for God is that Israel might be saved. He was burdened for others on the boat. By the way, right now we're all in the same boat. Believers, non-believers, we're all in the same boat. Who are we most concerned about right now? Are we so burdened and thankful that in God's providence, when God spares lives, they were saying, praise God, these folks are still spared. They're not ready for eternity. Not only was he burdened in God's providence, but he believed in God's providence. He believed in God's providence. We read that this morning in Philippians 1:12. Paul said to the Philippians, he said, listen, I'm in prison. I know it's difficult, but listen, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be unsure about it. I want you to understand the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Here in chapter number 27, Paul believes in verse 25, he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, I don't know about you, but I would love right now, especially during this time, I would love for God just to be a little more specific with me about things, all right? I would love that. God just to say, listen, here's the date that you'll all get out of this mess, and here's what's going to happen here. And I would, but God doesn't do that. But I do believe God when God says He'll take care of me. When the Bible says that God knoweth them that are His. When the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God. When the Bible says that God is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe God. Now let me tell you the rest of the story, okay? So here's what happens. 14 days later, they crash and end up on the island of Melita. After 3 months, they depart on another ship to Syracuse, where they are there for 3 days, then to Regium, then to Rome. Upon arrival at Rome, the prisoners were delivered to the prison guard. Paul is placed under house arrest, and that's where he preaches the gospel for at least 2 years. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, hear this, no man forbidding him. I'm telling you the story. They're all in the same boat. You've got the government representatives. You've got the lost people there. You've got the experts, the captain and the crew. And you got Paul and the other believers. All in the same boat. They hit the storm. The guards can't do anything about it. The captain and the crew can't navigate through it. The believers don't know what to do, probably. But the missionary has the answer. God spares them. God delivers them. And Paul ends up at Rome preaching without hindrance. Friend, listen, I'm looking forward to coming out of some of this mess. But I sure do want this to be our testimony. That when all hope was taken away, missions really did matter. This world heard the missionaries talking. This lost, hopeless people heard Christians speak up with hope, with confidence. And that if and when we come through this mess, what is found is Christians and missionaries and preachers preaching without hindrance. Man, what a testimony that would be. I don't know where you are this morning as far as your relationship with the Lord. You may be here and you never accepted Christ as your Savior. Again, we're all in the same boat. But you're the one in that boat and you're hopeless. You don't know what you're going to do. I want to tell you this morning, you can be saved. Amen. You can come to know Jesus as your personal Savior today. And be sure that if your time may come in a week or two or even today, and friend, listen, many folks have seen that. 2 weeks ago, they had no idea they were going to step out into eternity. If that's you this morning, you can be saved today and know for sure where you're going. Amen. Friend, if you're a believer, don't have to be scared, don't have to be nervous. We're all in the same boat, but oh my, you and I have the answer today. We're the ones in the boat with the answer, with the message of hope when all hope is taken away. I want to ask you to stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. You've been very patient, and I appreciate your faithful listening today. We want to give it a moment of time. If you're here this morning, and again, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and in your life, all hope has been taken away, we want you to come this morning to be saved, to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't have to try to convince you of that. I believe the Holy Spirit would be speaking to your heart right now if that's you. I pray you to respond to Him in just a moment. If you're a believer this morning, God may tug at your heart to come at an old-fashioned altar or just to stand right where you are. God may tug at your heart. Ask Him to give you more confidence, more hope, right where we are today, because we're all in the same boat, but oh my, missions really matters right now. We have the answer for those who are lost. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning, God. We thank You for the Word of God, and Lord, I thank You for this church, faithful preaching of the Word of God that comes from this pulpit. Lord, I pray this morning, if You've spoken to someone's heart about salvation, Lord, they need to come this morning and accept Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray they would do that before it's eternally too late. I know there are folks here who would love to speak to them and show them how they can be saved forever. God, I pray for the believer here this morning, and Lord, who maybe is a little bit convicted of being plagued with the fear and being plagued with the worry. And Lord, many times as believers, again, even with a mask on, we don't know whether to speak up or to witness or to say anything. And Lord, help us to have confidence. Help us to be the ones in that boat, the ones in that storm who have that message of hope. Lord, challenge us today. God, we're going to give You the praise for what You do in the next few moments. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The invitation is going to begin. The music is going to begin. If God is speaking to your heart, would you come this morning as they begin to sing?